Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday we had discussed with regards to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the gift of 50 salah on the night of Mi'raj. And then Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came down, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam asked him to go back up and get a reduction of the salah. And this continued till eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the salah 5. So this salah, we must understand it is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now a gift is something that a person loves because he gets benefit from it. He gets benefit from it. However, you see the little children on Eid day. I'm talking about the very small children. Very small children on Eid day, you give them Eidi. So to them, it's an envelope. You give them an envelope. There could have been 100 rand inside there. There could have been 200 rand inside there. But you give them an envelope. So they took the envelope and gave it to their mother. They don't really understand what is that 100 rand and that 200 rand. But if you bought one small 10 rand ball and you gave it to the child, now the child is excited. The child got a toy. Now this child will play with the toy. He won't want to give the toy in anybody else's hand. He must keep the toy by him. If his cousin wants to take the toy, he's prepared to fight. He'll cry. Nobody must take that toy. But the 200 rand you gave him in the envelope, he can't understand the value of the 200 rand. That his mother can take it, that if he dropped it somewhere, so he's not bothered. There's one envelope. What am I going to do with that envelope? He doesn't understand how many more of those balls he can buy with that envelope. So to him, that envelope, he doesn't really treasure it. But the mother will take that envelope and she'll put it safely in her handbag, she'll keep it safely, because she understands the value of that envelope. Now when the child is 10 years old, 12 years old, now give him one tennis ball. Now he'll say, what kind of uncle are you? Where's my envelope? Where's the Eidi? Where's the envelope? Now that child, you give him the envelope. Now he holds it very, very dearly. Now he's counting. Now he got on wallet also. And he's comparing with everybody. How much you collected? How much I collected? Which uncle forgot to give me? How come you got more? So you see, when the brain matures, as the brain is maturing, then the person starts realizing and understanding and valuing what is really of benefit. But when the brain is immature, then the person attaches value to something that doesn't really have value in it. Now this is exactly the same when it comes to the spiritual brain, the spiritual heart. You see, the spiritual heart, if it is matured, then it understands that this salah is a gift. This salah is the valuable thing in my life. But when that spiritual heart is still immature, it's still nadan, it's still like a child, then it thinks that its profession is more valuable than the salah. Its job is more valuable than the salah. It's like the small child attaching more importance to a tennis ball than to the 200 rand note. Then the person will forego his namaz to make a few rands. He'll forego his jamaat because you got an extra client, or you got an extra patient, or you got extra customer, whatever it is. So it is only when that spiritual heart will mature, then it will realize that this is a gift. Now, when you want to give a gift to somebody, you carefully think you think a lot that I want to give this man a gift. What gift must I give him? I need to give him something that he's going to appreciate, something that he will use, something that will benefit him. I need to give him something. For example, if you want to give him, you want to give one carpenter a gift, a person who is a carpenter, you want to give him a gift. So maybe if you see some electric screwdriver, you say, okay, I think this is something that he will use. You won't go buy for him a set of Bukhari Sharif, the carpenter. What is he going to do with the Bukhari Sharif? Now, if you want to buy a Maulana a gift, then you're not going to go and buy him an electric saw. What is he going to do with the electric saw? The Maulana, you'll go and buy for him on Bukhari Sharif. So when you want to give a gift to somebody, so you think that I must choose a gift that is suitable for this person, and this person must be able to use it and he must benefit from it. That's the type of gift you want to give. So when insan is intelligent enough to think that when he's giving a gift, he must give something useful, he must give something beneficial, then do we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he was giving a gift to his most beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah Pak never think to say that no, the gift that I'm going to give must be the most beneficial gift. So what a gift this salah is. But we are discarding it. We are not performing it properly. And if we're reading it 5 times a day, then we're not reading it with Jamaat. If we're reading it with Jamaat, then we're not reading it with the proper concentration. Is our tajweed correct? Is our postures of salah correct? When last did we go to somebody and say to them that, you know what, just check my salah postures. My salah postures, check if it is okay. I'm reading namaz for 20 years, 30 years. Last time I checked it up was my maktab apa in grade 7. After that I never got a chance. So please just check it up for me. Is my ruku right? My sajda right? So we have to improve on our salah. If we are not reading all our namazes with jamaat, then that is a starting point, that we have to read all our salah with jamaat. Reading namaz at home, as I mentioned, that is for the woman folk. That is for a person who is sick, a person who is paralyzed, a person who has got some problem. That person can read namaz at home. If a person is a musafir or something, it's a different issue. But we are muqeem, we must structure our lives such that we get all our salah with jamaat. If we are running a huge company, huge business, huge profession, but we're not reading our 5-time daily salah with jamaat, what have we achieved in our lives? What have we achieved in our lives? There is no achievement. And when the salah will not be there, then we will be very restless people. You see, a sugar patient, if he doesn't have his insulin, he's in a problem. He's in a problem. The pressure patient, if he doesn't take his tablets, he's in a problem. A person is in a problem. And even the person who is fit and healthy, but he's got an adat of having a cup of tea in the morning, he doesn't have his cup of tea, he can't function properly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this 5-time daily salah, because by reading this 5-time daily salah, we will function properly. If we don't read our 5-time daily salah, we will not function properly. Then the person says, but Maulana, I don't know why, I'm just angry with my wife. I myself, I can't explain it. Must be somebody did jadu. Person said, I don't know, man. I just lose it. I just fly off the handle. I don't know what's happening with me. Not I don't know what's happening with me. It's like the pressure patient not taking his tablets. How can the believer not read his namaz? The believer doesn't read his namaz, he's going to be off. he won't be right. Everything will go off. Because he's not having his sana. He has to have his sana. And his sana also has to be of a certain quality. Not every generic tablet is good. Not every generic is good. The tablet too has to be of a good quality. If a person is taking a tablet that was made in some backdoor laboratory, then it may have some adverse effect. He takes a tablet also, he has to take a good quality tablet that has been prescribed by the doctor, and he must take it also according to the prescription. If the doctor told him that this tablet you must take on an empty stomach, then he has to take it on an empty stomach. If the doctor told him that this tablet you have to take it after meals, then he has to take it after meals. Then it will have its true effect. So Fajr has to be read at Fajr time. Fajr has to be read at Fajr time for a man with Jamaat. Zohar has to be at Zohar time, not Qaza. A person who reads his namaz Qaza, he is like taking the tablet that's supposed to be taken on empty stomach, he is taking on full stomach. Tablet supposed to take on full stomach, he is taking on empty stomach. So that's not really going to help his cause. So our salah, this must be in our life. This must be what we live for. We live to speak to our Allah. We live to speak to our Allah. What else are we going to do here on this world? If we don't have a ta'alluq with our Allah, if we can't keep, the person got his iPhone and his BlackBerry and his don't know what and what device with this reminder, that reminder, that reminder. I got this appointment, I have to see that builder, this client is coming, that one is coming. Everything he got, all his nephews and nieces' birthdays also, he got it all recorded. And he doesn't forget his wife's anniversary because it beeps and reminds him. In the old days, bichara, the husbands, they used to get battas because they can't remember the anniversary. The wife used to get very angry. Now, today's time, the men, they got it easy. They just put a reminder there every year. The thing must beep. Remember, okay, anniversary. So he got all the reminders there and he keeps to his appointments. And he's very happy about what a meticulous person he is. And how everything is to the T. His office and his business and everything is run so well. But the five appointments he got with Allah Pak, he can't keep. The five appointments you got with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't keep. When we go to work in the morning, before our secretary schedules our appointments, those people who got secretaries and all that, the secretary must already know that those times are circled, those times are taken. There can't be no appointment that time. That time he is already occupied. If you got an appointment, you know, the doctors, the lawyers, they come, they say, is my 11 o'clock here? They say, is my 11 o'clock here? Everyone is a time, you know. Every client is a time. Is my 11 o'clock here? Is my 11:30 going to make it? Is my 12 o'clock here? So if somebody finish make an appointment for 11 o'clock, and somebody else phones the secretary there or the receptionist there and say that we need an appointment for 11 o'clock. So what the receptionist says? He says, sorry, the boss is busy at that time. Doctor is busy. He's already got an 11 o'clock. He's already got an 11 o'clock. What about the afternoon? No, he's fully booked. Fully booked in the afternoon. The earliest appointment we can give you is Thursday morning. And they talk like that. So same like how you can't put one appointment on top of another appointment. Same like that. I mean, nothing can come in the place of namaz. That appointment is set. It's there. So we must know, our families must know, children must know, clients must know, customers must know, everybody must know that at that time I'm occupied. I'm already committed. I can't see you at that time. And we mustn't compromise that. We mustn't compromise that for anything. You don't compromise it for anything. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so much of emphasis on salah. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that salah in the life of a believer is like the head in the body. Without a head, there's no body. You can do without some other limb. Yeah, new eat clothes if you don't have is okay, you're still a Muslim, you still carry on. But without the head, you can't function without a head in the body. In other ahadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that person who leaves out a salah, means one namaz, intentionally, a person leaves out a salah. We're not talking about somebody who accidentally it happened, or the person he had all the intention to wake up and he overslept. That's human, it can happen. It even happened to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it doesn't happen every day. That mistake happens once in a blue moon, they say. Once in a blue moon. Once in a month of Sundays. Once in a while. Something like that can happen. Not every day. So that's human. That can happen. It can take place. But we're talking about where a person, he is intentionally missing a namaz. He can hear the azan. He knows it's namaz time. And he's intentionally not going for that salah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his words, explicit words, faqad kafar. Person has committed kufr. The person has committed kufr. Abu Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say, this is the ihsan of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, that he said that the person has committed an act of kufr. That means an act that resembles the actions of the kuffar. Not that the person has become a kafir. But if one has to go by the literal words of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed a decree of kufr on the person who leaves out a namaz intentionally. And the other a'imma, they are of that opinion. Some imams, they said if the person, if he leaves out a namaz intentionally, he must be put to death. He should be put to death if he left out a namaz intentionally. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, his fatwa was that if a person leaves out a salah, a person leaves out a salah intentionally, he must be taken and put into prison. He must be put into prison. Till he makes tawbah, he makes istighfar, and he promises that he'll never do it again, then only he should be released. So it's a crime. It's actually a crime to miss a namaz intentionally. So we should never ever miss a namaz. Namaz that's part and parcel of our life. We function with salah. We must plan ourselves around our namaz. Our namaz comes first. As we said, if a person is traveling or something, that's a different issue. And look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that He reduced the salah to 5, but He still gives the reward of 50. He reduced the salah to 5, but he still gives the sawab. The sawab is still of 50. He didn't reduce the sawab. He reduced the amal, but the sawab is still the same. Person still gets the sawab. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the night of Mi'raj, he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. That was the Mi'raj of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the ummat, it is actually a medium through which the ummat can speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a medium through which the ummat can speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the gift that Allah Pak has given. When a person is in salah, he is conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person is in sajda, that is the closest he can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. This is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, As-salatu mi'rajul mu'mineen. That salah, this is the ascension, this is the mi'raj of the believers. In this dunya, everything is a deception. Everything is a deception. A person, he thinks he's going to the lowest point. He's going right onto the ground. He's putting his forehead on the ground. That's what it looks like outwardly, that the person is going low. He's putting his forehead on the ground. But in reality, that's the highest he can ever go. When he puts his head on the ground, that's the highest he can ever go. These bichara people, they feel they've achieved something if they climbed Everest. Now, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say that some of them, they went to climb Everest and they went to rest forever. So many of them, they die on the way. It's a shock a person has that he climbed Everest. He got to the highest point there. He put his flag there also. He got his name there. And he's happy. He achieved something. The believer, when he puts his head down in sajda, what is that Everest that the person achieved? The person who climbed Everest, what did he really achieve? When the believer puts his head down in sajda, that is the highest that a human can ever go. The position of sajda. When he is in sajda, then everything is removed between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is as if, we must never ever attribute limbs, or as I explained the other day, direction or confine a space to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Pak is free of all these things. But it is as if, when a person is in sajda, it is as if he is placing his head at the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can a person get better than that? So namaz is something that is not a burden on the ummah. It's not something that's burdensome on us. It's something that if a person really does it properly, he will actually look forward to it. He'll actually, you know, if one day he has to miss a namaz, he's very uncomfortable. It's very, very uncomfortable. He can't handle it. This is why this one Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala, once he overslept his tahajjud namaz, he overslept. Now tahajjud namaz is not even farz, it's nafal, it's optional. But he overslept for tahajjud. When he woke up fajr time, he was so grieved. What do lovers know? Lovers in this dunya, their fellow misses his date. The fellow misses his date. And look at his sadness. He got a date with a mere mortal. He got a date with a mere mortal. And if he couldn't make it, he's so heartbroken. His heart is shattered. He missed an opportunity to be with his beloved. And his beloved is a mere mortal. Tomorrow she may kick him and marry somebody else. So many people had childhood sweethearts. Ask them who they married. When he was in school, he had one childhood sweetheart. He said, no, this is the love of my life. She got married to somebody else, he got married to somebody else. I see a lot of people nodding their heads. So that is a date with a mere mortal. But the person is so upset that he couldn't make it. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they had a date with Allah. Tahajjud namaz is a date with Allah. You got a date with the Creator. So when he missed his tahajjud salah, can you imagine his pain? He missed his appointment, he missed his date with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. he missed an opportunity where he would express his love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine his heart? So he cried and he made tawbah and he made istighfar over missing something that's optional. There's no guna, nothing. But you see, when there's love, you see, if you love your wife, today we have to say if you love your wife, because a lot of people, I don't know, Allah Pak knows best. But if you love your wife, and she phoned you at work, and she said that, you know, we need milk and bread and whatever, and then by the way she says, you know what, if you remember, get my chocolate for me. Now the chocolate is nafal. The milk and bread is farz. That has to be there. I mean, the milk and bread, that's the essentials, that's the basics, that has to be there. Now, if he really loves his wife, he won't forget the chocolate. And if perchance, if it slipped his mind, he had too many things on his mind, he slipped his mind to get the chocolate, when he comes home, he is genuinely remorseful. Hey, I forgot your chocolate. Never mind, when I go for Isha, I get it. He wants to make up, because he's got love. He's got love. If there's no love, she can forget about the chocolates. If there's no love. But if he loves his wife, he'd want to get the chocolate. Although it's not a necessity. So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they had love. They had love for Allah ta'ala. So although the tahajjud salah was not a faraz, but they never wanted to miss it. So this Sahabi, now he missed that namaz. Now if you forgot to buy the chocolate, you didn't do no guna. But if you love your wife, you'll profusely apologize. So this Sahabi, he is crying to Allah Pak, that Ya Allah, forgive me that I didn't wake up for tahajjud, although it's not a guna. But he's asking Allah Pak for forgiveness that he didn't wake up for tahajjud salah. So the next day, when it is the time normally for him to wake up, so he sees somebody is waking him up. So he woke up, he sees, who's this person, you know, in my house, waking me up? I say, who are you? He said, no, I'm Iblis. I'm the devil. What you waking me up for? So for tahajjud namaz? Read your tahajjud namaz. He said, no, there must be some fine print here, bhai. Iblis waking me up for tahajjud namaz, it don't make sense. So Iblis tells him, he says that, you know, once in a while, I also do one, two good things. I'm not all that bad. I do bad all the time. But one, two times, I do one, two good things also. So today I just did you a good turn. Sahabi said, no. You're not going to get away like that. You need to tell me why you're waking me up. So Iblis tells him, he says that, see, yesterday you didn't wake up. You made so much of tawbah, so much of istighfar, that Allah Pak gave you so much, more than what you would have got even if you woke up. So today I said, rather than you missing and crying so much and getting so much, I rather wake you up. You rather just wake up and read the tahajjud. That's better. So Sahaba radiallahu ta'anum, they understood what salah is. They used salah to draw from the treasures of Allah ta'ala. Any problem they had, they resorted to salah. And there are people like that in the world up to today. Anything, any situation, they will resort to salah. So that is what that salah is for. It's not to make our lives difficult. Salah is there for our own benefit. Salah is there for us to use. Salah is there for us to draw from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures. And if we read our salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take care of our dunya also and our akhirat. Not only the akhirat. There's cash and carry here. It's not just that you're only going to get in the akhirat. You will get in this dunya and we will get in the akhirat. The dunya also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of it. And there are many other things. But we will stop now. And inshallah, tomorrow we'll continue with this. Now, you can have your snack. Try not to waste time, right? Our time is precious. Socializing, talking, finding out what happened there and what happened here and all that, that all, inshallah, we'll talk. For now, we got money to be made. We are busy making money. Don't disturb us. Right? We want to make money because we need to purchase Jannat. Right? So we don't know if tonight is Laylatul Qadr. We don't want to waste any time. So very, very quickly, quietly, we go have our snack. After that, get refreshed. Whoever is staying, come away back into the masjid. These ulama will coordinate that Quran khatam. And we try and complete that entire khatam of the Quran Sharif. If we do it jointly, in that half an hour, inshallah, we will complete the khatam of the Quran Sharif. Right? So we try and do that, and thereafter we will have a short, some ash'ar, and engage in dua. Right? So please, those of you that are having your snack, dastarkhan will be laid out now. You partake of your snack, but try and do it very, very quietly. We are in the house of Allah. We don't want to disrespect the house of Allah Ta'ala. We must maintain the sanctity of the house of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Khair, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.